Welcome to True Life in God on VoiceAmerica.com. I am Betsy Serafin, your host.
We're talking about Vasula Raidan and the messages that she has received from heaven since 1985. For as many people as possible to hear these urgent words, Vasula has traveled around the world speaking in more than 60 countries and has filled over 12 volumes with these messages from God, while never accepting a single penny for any of her work. Vasula is a true servant of the Lord, and we are grateful to her for her tireless dedication. We ask, why is God so anxious to communicate with us at this particular time in history? Today's show will address that question as Vasula talks to us about what is called the Day of the Lord. This day is proclaimed throughout Holy Scripture in the Hebrew and the Christian writings. For 2,000 years, we have prayed, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How blessed we are to be living at a time when that kingdom is now upon us. We have arrived at the anticipated time when Holy Spirit will renew the earth and transfigure His church, that is, His people, into a new Jerusalem. Good morning, Vasula. How are you?
Good evening from here.
Oh, good evening from there. You are in Greece, and I am in Colorado. So, Vasula, you have a lot to cover today.
Yes, well, we'll talk about the Day of the Lord, and as you said, the kingdom, His kingdom is on earth because His kingdom is the church. Already we have the church, and now we're going to talk about the Day of the Lord. So I will explain it because many people would have liked to know what it is. They read it in scriptures. First, let me say it in a few words, in my own words. The Day of the Lord is a day of purification. It is when Jesus says, my return will renew you and free many of you from your transgression. My return, or His visitation, when He says my visitation to you, means His presence in your heart. Now, this is a grace given in these times of mercy. And it's so powerful. And sometimes I say, well, I wish everybody got this visitation or the return of the Lord in their heart, because it is the Day of the Lord. So when the Lord comes upon us in our heart, a visitation unexpectedly, it is a sort of awareness of your sin, awareness of His presence, and you kind of compare yourself in front of God's holiness and purity, and that's where the eyes see things, the inner eyes see things on yourself, like what a wretch you are, how many sins you have upon you still, like a stained glass in front of the Lord. It hurts, and many, many who are hearing, I'm sure they recognize that they have had this visitation, because I know some people who told me, I've gone through this purification, it was very painful, realizing, it's a sort of realizing yourself, your conscience is realizing. And you weep because of how you have been offending God. And it's like fire. It's a fire which is not like the fire, the real fire, but it's burning like a fire within you. So this is explanation with my own words, but I would like to say it with some words of True Life in God from the messages. So it says here, we have three parts which I found. These are given in the year 2002. So the Lord says, what is the Day of the Lord? Those who have and are persistently rebelling against me will taste that day and all it bears. It will come upon those transgressors as sudden as a thunderbolt. So you see, what the Lord says here is that you don't expect when it will come. It is a grace, it comes just suddenly upon you, and it is a sudden surprise. And then I continue, and like a fearful fire, they will be turned into human torches. Well, this is a kind of figurative way of talking here. It doesn't mean that you will be on fire with a natural fire, but it will be burning you from within. the earth, as you said, will be set aflame, and their consciousness will be revealed to them as a revelation. When he says, the Lord here, the earth, it means many will go through that. My divine fire will turn the inflexible heart into a lenient heart. Well, these are good news, because,
you know,
there are many hearts that are hard to turn around, turn to God. And some of the families who have somebody like that in their family say, oh, well, what will happen to this person? Well, don't give up, because here it shows that even the inflexible heart will turn into a lenient heart in my day. The earth, in agony, will become fully aware. Now, if you replace this word, the earth, into people, for instance, in agony, you'll understand it better. In agony, will become fully aware in consciousness and soul. So you will be aware of what you've been doing wrong and offending God, of its failures and its deficiency, its corruptibility, and its lawlessness, and not to say the least, the infamous rejection of my resurrection and my omnipresence in your daily life. See, this is the worst, when people say, I don't believe in resurrection, I don't believe in God. Well, that will hurt more, because the fire will be so strong there in your daily life. Heaven will open in my day. And those who rejected me, proclaiming themselves as gods, will be judged severely. Can anyone say that I have not been instructing you all these years? Have I not affirmed my might all these years by wonders? And here the Lord wants to say that he has given everybody chances, opportunities to open their ears and hear more about our Lord. And yet there is a lot of lethargy around the world, and people, they are feeling so comfortable not to disturb their comfortable life, so they don't want to hear anything, lest they have to change. Don't you agree?
I agree with that. What I'm interested in here, too, is that it's all races, all religions will see me in their interior darkness.
Yes. I'll go on here.
It's not just for Christians.
Everybody is his creatures.
Right.
I tell you, woe to anyone who finds himself without my light in my day. That's why it's so important to go to confession. Because once you go to confession, you clean up yourself. So when the day of the Lord comes, it will be very slight fire, a very slight fire. It won't hurt that much.
Sounds
it's
good.
It's true, because I know I'm talking about this. Why? Because I've gone through these things.
Right.
And it was terrible. It was, sometimes I used to say when I was going through this, it wasn't just one moment or 1 hour, it was days. I was saying, I'm going through hell. It was so awful, so terrible, to be aware suddenly. If you have not gone through that stage, you don't know what it is. But if you have, you know what it is. It hurts. It hurts to recognize your real self. So this is why I'm saying it will be better if one goes to confession and starts confessing. Because I had never gone before. That's why everything was heaped up on my head when this day of the Lord came.
Well, of course, a lot of people don't have confession in their churches, a formal confession.
You know, although in my church it exists, the Greek Orthodox Church, as well as the Catholic Church, I've never been, because I wasn't interested. Let me just say that. I was not interested in anything, in fact, about church things. And when that day the Lord asked me to go and confess and follow one of his rules, which is in the scriptures as well, which is to confess to one another, as it says in the scriptures, and now the church has given us the priests. I thought, well, since I have this gift from God and I'm directly speaking to him, why do I have to go through that confession to go to someone when I can be directly with God? And believe me, I felt God's anger on me, and it scared me. So my pencil even dropped from my hand. It flew away. It was just when I was refusing to listen to the Lord when he was asking me to go to confession. But, you know, it reminds me when he said later on that to confess, although many people don't like to do that, it's an act of humility. It's a super act of humility. And if one does not want to confess, it's lack humility. I believe in what the Lord says. The message continues by saying, "Woe to anyone who finds himself without my light in my day. These I will purge with my fire. As for those who kept my precepts," this is the good thing, "those who kept my precepts and my law based on love and who are the salt of the earth, they shall not be tested by fire. Since I am their God and have acknowledged me as the principle of their life, they have already been tested and are part of me now and constantly within my divine light in union with the Godhead." So it means that if you have gone through that purification, if you are united with God, that day will not come on these people.
So you're saying if we confess our sins and try to remember everything, ask God to help us remember what
yes.
we've done.
But sometimes we don't remember, and still the day of the Lord will come to purge out even the little tidbits that are left inside us. But it won't be so bad. I continue. "My day is imminent," my day, which is the day of the Lord, "imminent, because it is happening already. And woe to the corpses on that day of my return." Corpses here, it means spiritually dead, on that day of my return, which is the day of the Lord. So the return is not the actual parousia, but the day of the Lord. And it's to be understood as a minor judgment before the judgment day. It is a sort of purification for a renewal, and it has, as I said, started, but in small phases. I'll take the other part here,
okay,
where he says, "I will reveal myself," let me just go a little bit above, "I presented myself as mercy," because these years, if you notice, he's pouring out his Holy Spirit to lift the church, which is us, and purify us and renew us, and it's times of mercy. So the Lord says, "I presented all these years myself as mercy and as a lamp. I will reveal myself then as a consuming fire." Why? Did anyone believe I will pass by unnoticed? And do you still believe the Master will pass you by without any retribution? It is therefore good to repent daily. And you who are carrying my seed, sing as you sow. Do not look behind you. And it continues. So the last piece I want to take from this book, because we have other books, as you said, Betsy.
What date are you on now?
Always 2002.
Okay.
But do you want the exact date of this?
No, that's all right. That's volume 12. Those are all in volume
12. That's volume 12, yes. Then the last part of that volume 12, it says, "I shall never fail you. Come to me and rest in me. Have you not understood that I am fire? A fire putting aflame everything I seize. Anyone whom I seize totters in flames of divine love. Have I not declared in the scriptures my fire? Have I not declared it several times in these messages? Although your spirit in its sinfulness will shrivel with fear and with unbearable pain when recognizing me, at the same time I will be exuding my fragrance, and your soul in my presence, although terrified upon seeing itself naked and in decay from sin and transgression, from not following my law of love, will delight that I, her Creator and her God, is visiting her. When this day comes upon you, the day I call the day of the Lord, the scales covering your eyes will fall off, and you will look at your real self. My fire will reduce you to nothing in your dismay. But do not gasp with fear. Be of good cheer, for how else would you see yourself by my side?" So you see, this is like
when... It's a gift.
It's a gift, yes. It hurts, but it's a gift.
As scary as it is, it's a gift.
But it's not scaring because it's the presence of the Lord. And if we die, when we die, and we are not having passed through that purification, uh-huh. right, and we have not revealed our sins to the confessor and we just die with that, yeah. when we face the Lord, just at the doorstep of death, you know, then we see the Lord. He has always open arms. It's not He who forbids us to go straight to paradise. But when we compare ourselves to the Lord then, and we see how stained we are, because that's where we realize, that's what it's like the day of the Lord, just there. When we realize how sinful we are, we ourselves fall into the purgatory to get purified as soon as possible to get up, to be able to enter heaven. We want. So it's not the Lord who throws us in. We cannot approach Him, not in that state.
Well, he calls this a resurrection, which I think is an interesting term to use for the what we'll be like after we've gone through this.
We all will resurrect. We will all resurrect, but which place are we going to go?
Right.
It's like we are in transit. To take a plane, like taking three different planes. Which plane are we going to take?
I wonder if it's this experience that St. Paul is talking about when he says, and in the twinkling of an eye, all will be changed.
Right.
Sounds like this, doesn't it?
It's from just walking from one room into another room, as quick as that.
Just like that.
Yes.
And you went through it for days.
I went for days, 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
It's a long time.
I can't imagine.
It came in, then another 3 weeks came in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it was very painful.
Well, I've noticed that since I started reading these messages, Vasula, that I will start remembering things that I have done where I hurt somebody or done something I ought not to have done, and it'll come back to me, and it's painful, but I feel so good to get rid of it, sort of.
Yes,
it is good. It was in my unconscious mind.
You feel lighter in the heart.
Right.
And cheerful. Because he says here, be of good cheer too, because this is good news in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll continue. It's almost finished, this part.
Okay.
For how else would you see yourself by my side? Any remaining evil tendencies will be rendered inactive. It's like as if he disconnects you.
Mm-hmm.
This purification is to turn your soul not to venture here and there aimlessly, but to me, who am your sole divine bridegroom. I do not think that many of you have understood what the day of the Lord means. When the voice of the bird is silenced and song notes are still, know that I will call in this silence all your hidden deeds, good or bad, to judgment. The day of the Lord can be compared to a, you say mini or miney?
Mini.
How do you say it in a
mini?
Mini. A tribunal.
Okay.
A purification by my fire that will lead your soul into my glory and into a perfect union with me.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Isn't that? And then I finish. When a soul is horribly defiled by sin, repugnant to me and to my angels, saints and holy ones, my visit will put her, the soul, into agonizing pains, and she will not escape my day. How else am I to render your soul incorruptible and free from sin? How else am I to bring those souls to repentance? Only when I strip them naked with my fire, and they see themselves in what state they are in, only then will they realize how they were the possession of Satan, in those whom my divine fire will be blazing, purifying them. By this immaterial fire, I will consume them, awakening them and making them finally aware of how they are being transformed with pain, but with joy as well, by the love of my transforming fire.
Wow.
And it goes on, but I will perhaps try to take the other part you suggested also.
Some of that in Volume 5.
Yes.
Yes, that's a very long one. I would suggest to the listeners that that is an extremely important message to read. And it's only 4 days after the 9/11 message, which is very interesting to me, because that 9/11 message ended in the words, "Soon, very soon now, the heavens will open, and I shall make you see."
You skipped those two words. Make you see what?
Make you see the judge.
That's right.
It's interesting the way it's written, because that's the way it's designed.
Alone, even. You know, he wrote it just below the sentence, the Lord has put the judge on its own.
Yeah.
I would still suggest this time as well that people who have not been reading but just listening, it will be good for them to take. Why? Because reading, you meditate upon it.
Exactly. And also you remember better what you see.
Yes.
Rather than just what you hear, what is coming. So that when it does happen, they're not going to have a heart attack.
Okay. You're scaring them. Well, let me say it in a milder way.
Okay.
I would say the day of the Lord, it's not the end of the world. It's not that you get a heart attack, of course. But it is it's a purifying fire that with grace the Lord is sending inside our soul. Suddenly, people who have been unaware of their wretchedness, suddenly they come to realize what they are, and it burns. This is the day of the Lord. And that's where you start repenting and saying, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa.
Right.
So this is really, it is a grace. Shall I read some part which I have found here where the message you wanted me to read out?
Yes.
It's a bit symbolic, so I'll go slow on that.
Okay.
I'm not taking from the beginning, because I'll take the essential part.
Okay.
For I will allow your soul to perceive all the events of your lifetime. I will unfold them one after the other. So sometimes, you know, Betsy, these explanations are done sometimes after death. After death, you start realizing the events, and then you know that you have to go to purgatory to be purified. But the grace of the Lord sometimes does it before we step into the other world, which is the day of the Lord. It's the visitation of our Lord now, in our times, in our time when we are alive. So I will unfold them one after the other.
Okay.
That's where you remember things that you had forgotten. You feel sorry for having done them. To the great dismay of your soul, you will realize how much innocent blood your sins shed from victim souls. I will then make your soul aware to see how you had never been following my law. Because many people say, I do follow the law. And then when this comes, this purification fire, you realize that you were not really following it, because you were deceived by Satan and thinking you're following it, and so you don't repent. Like an unrolled scroll, I will open the Ark of the Covenant and make you conscious of your lawlessness. If you would still be alive and standing on your feet, the eyes of your soul will behold a dazzling light, like the glitter of many precious stones, like the sparks of crystal clear diamond, a light so pure and so bright that although myriads of angels would be standing nearby in silence, you will not see them completely, because this light will be covering them like a silverish golden dust. Your soul will only perceive their form, not their face. Then, in the midst of this dazzling light, your soul will see what they had once seen in that fraction of a second, that very moment of your creation. They will see He who held you first in His hands. This is a symbolic way of saying when we are born, our soul somehow recognizes our Creator, which we can't remember. They will see He who held you first in His hands, the eyes that saw you first. They will see the hands of He who shaped you and blessed you. They will see the most tender Father, your Creator, all clothed in fearful splendor, the first and the last, He who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the Ruler. Shriveled with your awakening, your eyes will be transfixed in mine, which will be like two flames of fire. Your heart then will look back on its sins and will be seized with remorse. You will, in great distress and agony, suffer your lawlessness, realizing how you were constantly profaning my holy name and how you were rejecting me, your father. Panic-stricken, you will tremble and shudder when you will see yourself as a decaying corpse, devastated by worm and by vulture. And if your legs will still be holding you up, I will show you what your soul, my temple, and my dwelling was nursing all the years of your life. Instead of my perpetual sacrifice, you will see, to your dismay, that you were fondling the viper and that you had erected the disastrous abomination of which the prophet Daniel spoke in the most profound domain of your soul, which is the blasphemy. The blasphemy that cut off all your heavenly bonds linking you to me and making a gulf between you and me, your God. When this day comes, the scales of your eyes will fall so that you may perceive how naked you are and how within you, you are a land of drought. Unhappy creature, your rebellion and your denial of the Most Holy Trinity turned you into a renegade and a persecutor of my word. Your laments and your wailing will be heard only by you then. I tell you, you will mourn and you will weep, but your laments will only be heard by your own ears. I can only judge as I am told to judge, and my judging will be just. As it was in Noah's time, so will it be when I will open the heavens and show you the Ark of the Covenant. For in those days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, taking wives, taking husbands, right up to the day Noah went into the Ark, and they suspected nothing till the flood came and swept all away. This is how it will be in this day too. And I tell you, if that time had not been shortened by the intercession of your Holy Mother, the martyr saints, and the pool of blood shed on earth from Abel the Holy to the blood of my prophets, not one of you would have survived. So this is almost everything. Now this is so symbolic, I have to give some explanation. The blasphemy is when, it's a very grave sin. The Lord says here, when you cut off all your heavenly bonds linking you to me and making a gulf between you and me, your God. When he says the Lord here, he talks about the perpetual sacrifice. Instead of my perpetual sacrifice, you will see to your dismay that you were fondling the viper. Perpetual sacrifice, in some of the messages, the Lord had explained that it is the Eucharist in some of it. In some of the messages. So instead of my perpetual sacrifice, it's the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross, and it is actually the communion, which is every day we have it. It's perpetual, and it's forever.
Now, Vasula, I want to ask a question here, because in this you read, you will realize how much innocent blood your sins shed from victim souls. Now, that's also part of a perpetual sacrifice. Explain that.
I can explain it in just what I had understood sometimes. It is these deaths that come with natural catastrophes.
Mm-hmm.
Children, they are victim souls. They have done nothing wrong. But it's the sins of the world that contract these catastrophes. Nature is rebelling. And it's because of our sins. I can say it in another way. We actually kill them in an indirect way from our sins. The sins of the world are so heavy that natural disasters are being done. Nature rebels. So when an innocent child dies in this catastrophe, it is because of the sins of the people, of the world. So you are responsible. We are responsible.
Well, now what about people who have the stigmata?
They are victim souls as well. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are different ways, and it's a gift too, to make people understand that actually the Lord had gone through the crucifixion and then the resurrection. So it's another way of giving people some, I would say, this pain of the stigmata. And so these are also victim souls. There are many victim souls, people who are sick constantly, born sick, more or less, born invalid. They are victim souls.
and people just who are in tremendous pain all of the time and refuse to take an aspirin because they want to offer it up to God.
Yes, well, I've heard Padre Pio one day, I heard a story that he had to be operated on the neck. There was some sort of growth under his skin. Mm-hmm. First he had asked Our Lady to heal him in a miraculous way. Then Our Lady said, no, just go to the doctor. And he didn't want any anesthesia.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This has been heavy, everything we've been talking about. And so Fasula is going to take this last 15 minutes and tell us some stories about some of the experiences she's had with God the Father and Jesus, and entertain us a little bit with this. Fasula?
Well, this is the experiences that I would like to share with a lot of people so that they get to know the simplicity of our Lord, His gentleness, His tenderness, sometimes His brotherly love, His companionship. This is so important for everyone to know. And these experiences were given to me so that I'm able to talk about them, not just to keep them and just enjoy them myself and delight in them, but I want to share them because it gives hope to so many people. For instance, one day the father came and asked me if I had anything to give to him. And I was just thinking, what am I going to give him? What am I going to give him? And then before I answered, father said, well, at any rate, whatever you will give me and is good, it comes from me. So I thought, well, don't I have anything good to give him? I said, I think I have something, with a voice which I heard, like someone who is amused, like, oh yes, what do you have to give me? And I said, I will paint an icon, which I know how to paint, and I'm going to offer this to you in the church and put it in the church, and you will like it. He said, the gift of art, Vasula, it also comes from me. So there I was stuck. Even the gift of art comes from him. Then I thought, oh, well, there's absolutely nothing. But then he said, yes, there is, your will. Oh, I said, my will, but I thought I gave it to you a week ago, because that's where I had gone through this day of the Lord, you know.
Yeah, right.
I was completely flattened, you know, and I just gave my will. And he said, yes, little one, but I like to hear it every single day. So that is where, when we pray the Our Father, we offer our will to God. We can just talk to God in a very simple way, just like children talking to their father. And another time, when I was annoyed and I had so many duties to do at home, vacuum cleaning and passing my time with these things instead of just sitting there enjoying our Lord, hearing Him and writing the messages and praying and talking to Him. And I was sort of grumbling when I was doing the vacuum cleaning. And He said, well, Vasula, why don't you offer these to me, these small duties? If you offer them with love to me and do them with love, then they become great in my eyes. So I really rejoiced and I started to change my attitude. I remember another time where the Lord wanted me to realize the importance of the Eucharist. One day He called me and I was a bit hungry that day. And He started by asking me, are you hungry, Vasula? And I said, in fact, yes, I am, Lord. And then He very majestically said, always be for my bread. And I said, but Lord, I was speaking about the other bread. And then He said, I know, but what is more important, your bread or my bread? And then I said, both. And He said, your bread will not last you forever, whereas my bread is forever. So this was a sort of teaching also about the importance of the Eucharist.
They're beautiful teachings.
Yes. You know, when the Lord speaks, even when I'm working at home like this and I hear Him, He will always give it as a lesson, something which is always teaching you. Little stories, but they're always teaching you. Another time, to show the gentleness of God, how much He cares for our family as mothers with our duties of home. He cares for that. It's not that you have to be always like, sometimes they say, well, you know how to evangelize. We all have to evangelize. We cannot. Each one of us, He has given something, like being responsible for our family. Others responsible to bring the bread for the family, like working outside. And all these are blessings from God. So one day I was writing. I was called about an hour before my son comes out of school. And I had to fetch him always with my car. The time passed in no time, because when the Lord speaks, the time passes so fast for me. I don't realize it anymore. And when the time came, just when I had to leave, I didn't even look at my watch. The Lord stopped his message. It was the Father. And he said, now it is time to fetch little Fabian, my son.
Oh.
And I looked at my watch, and it was just right. So he stopped his message, and off I went with the car. Tell you how considerate God is for our family.
Considerate. That is so sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. He cares for the least of the little things that we have to do.
Exactly. And also, I never blessed the food before, just like many people do, outsiders who don't know anything about the Lord. And one day I prepared a nice meal. I put it right on the table, and then I started to eat, and then I saw interiorly that the Lord was sitting there and watching me eat. And after a while, he pointed out with his chin, is this good? And I said, yes, Lord. Nothing happened. And a while he said, but don't you want me to bless it? And I said, yes, Lord. So he blessed it, and he remained there until I had the last bite in my mouth. And I knew, he made me understand that I should thank him at the end of the meal. And so I did.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He does want to bless what we eat.
That's right. I taught my son also how to do that. Up to now, when he goes even to a restaurant, I see him just kind of mumbling to himself because he doesn't want to show to the restaurant that he's blessing the food. He's discreet on this.
Some of the members meet for breakfast before we go over for the prayer group. And we make a point in saying the blessing, and we don't make any bones about it. And I think it's good for people around us to see that that's what we do.
Well, some youngsters like my son, being with other young people like this, sometimes they don't want to expose themselves.
That's understandable.
And you know that he lives in Singapore, so not many Christians, very few there.
Well, your son lives in Singapore.
Yes, one of your sons lives in Singapore. The other one is in Sweden.
You are quite a cosmopolitan family traveling around the world.
Well, it's not really funny, you know, because if I have to see my sons, I have to fly 12 hours to Singapore.
Oh, my.
And if I have to see the other one, I have to go to Sweden, and we are here. You know, now we're going to be in Washington, so we're really scattered.
Well, we're going to be very happy to have you here in the United States.
I'm going to be there on the 20th of March. I'll be arriving from my long trip now in Asia. I will be going to Pakistan, and New Delhi, Darjeeling, that's where the tea comes out from India,
yes,
near Calcutta, and also to Singapore. I will be speaking in a church.
How you do it.
Well, the traveling continues. I don't know how I do it really myself. I'm wondering sometimes. But it is like, it's like a fire inside me that I would like so much that people read and know these messages, because they're so great. So many people changed their lives and gave them hope.
We thank you, Vasula, for these beautiful messages, and we will read them.
Yes, thank you, Betsy.
And be prepared.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for hearing, everybody.
Today I thought I heard my mother's voice. I heard the gentle whisper in my soul.